Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yeah, it is. This is, well, no mai, hoki mai, ki me and all my homies love native manu. Yeah, this is our weekly segment where we talk about native manu, and this week, e tiwi, we are talking about the Haas Eagle, the Pouakai. And here to talk with me, as always, about our precious, precious native manu is my homie, Conservation Skucks, the love of my life, Pete Tonder. Welcome back, babes. How are you?
Maureen Allard.
You're just sick
Your
of
descriptions get more outrageous every week.
I think I've made that a goal for the show. Yeah, so this week, e tiwi, we are talking about the Haas Eagle, or known by its ingoa Māori as the Pouakai, or Te Hōkioi. And that was a call that we found online from Birds Online, a simulated call of the Haas Eagle, because obviously it's been extinct for many years now. And Pete, did you want to kind of talk about how they would have made that simulated call?
Well, yeah, I imagine they would have listened to the calls of other, you know, large eagles like the Harpy Eagle in the Americas. And there's also oral stories from Māori about this piercing, frightening call.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would have sort of just mushed that all together and come up with something pretty scary.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty scary. And there was another call that had some, like, really scary thunder sounds in the back, but we decided that that was a bit too hectic for a Wednesday morning. But, yeah, Pete, do you want to tell us about the classification of this manu?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's extinct.
Mm, rest in peace, girl.
And it was an endemic eagle. It was the largest eagle ever known.
Yeah.
Evolved from a much smaller eagle, but where you get situations where animals have lots of resources and no competition, you get this gigantism thing that happened, and there's quite a few in New Zealand that have that, like the moa was huge, and it could grow huge because there was lots of food.
Yeah.
And the kākāpō, that's the world's heaviest parrot.
Yeah.
And so this eagle just evolved apparently very rapidly.
Yeah, we were talking about this, like one of the most rapid growth
evolutions
of an invertebrate species.
Yeah, but it still took 2 million years. It just seems a long time to me, but
yeah,
and in scientific terms, that's a very short period of time.
Yeah, that's so true. It was named after Julius von Haast, German. He was a German.
He was like an ecologist.
Yeah.
You know, he curated museums and collections and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the one that actually found them.
Okay.
Because there was a guy called Frederick Fuller in 1871 that actually found the bones. But because Haas was the boss, it got named after him.
Oh, my God, so stupid. Yeah, so there was a lot of kōrero in pūrākau, whakatauki from Māori about this bird, but when Europeans colonised Aotearoa, they didn't believe Māori because they were silly, and it wasn't until Frederick Fuller discovered this bird that people were like, oh, the Haas Eagle, the Pouakai, actually existed. So,
And the went extinct about 500, 600 years ago. So that was 1400 and something, I think.
Yeah. So to talk about the kind of Māori relationship to Pouakai, Pouakai means old glutton, which I love that old translation because, I mean, they just had access to infinite source of food, really, didn't they?
Yeah,
Pete?
Big meals too.
like they would kill more and then spend days eating them.
Yeah, like 250 kilograms of prime chicken.
Yum! And we couldn't. I couldn't find any whakatauke out there about the Huss Eagle, the Pohakai. But they're definitely out there, and I'll keep looking for them. But if you know any whakatauke about the Pohakai, please send them in to iwi. But we know from like oral stories about the Pohakai that they used to attack people. It couldn't quite carry off men and women, but they would take off a baby.
They would, yeah. They could take off a small child.
Yeah, and there is a kind of a pūrākau about in Kaitahu about how a warrior named Hotiri, they set a trap made out of manuka sprigs, and then Hotiri went out and lured the manu into the trap, and then just as about as he was to get killed, all his warriors swooped in and killed the Pohakai. Yeah, so it's a very dangerous predator, wasn't it, Pete?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You wouldn't. You'd be very worried when these shadows sort of swept over you. You'd be running for your life, really.
I'm just thinking about, like, what about, like, walking? I know it wouldn't be in the city, but walking down K Road, you see a shadow coming behind you. You'd be like, holy shit. And then it's also a very important manu for Ngāti Manuhiri. Could you talk to this, Pete? You used to do some mahi for them.
Yeah, I did a bit of mahi for them. Pohakai is a symbol of their ancestor, Toitea Huatahi, and their sort of ancient connection to the Hauriki Gulf and its islands, and particularly to Hauturu Otoi, Little Barrier Island, and so they have some fantastic sculptures of this in their meeting house.
Wow.
This amazing huge one, and then they commission a large sculpture of a Pohakai for the new motorway extension between Orewa and Warkworth.
Which is kind of crazy because from our research, they're mostly, they were South Island based money.
Yeah, only found in the South Island, so go figure. I somehow the stories of them travelled north,
yeah.
Or maybe it was hunting, raiding parties that ventured into Te Waipounaumu. Somehow that's got into the storytelling of a number of North Island iwi.
Yeah, I love that. I love that interconnectedness of our histories. And so, Pete, how would you describe this manu? This is a big boy, big girl.
Big, yeah. Big, the girl's bigger than the boy.
And I asked you, why is it so often that the girl bird is bigger than the boy bird? And I was like, is it because the girl bird is stronger and sexier? And you were like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. I think they got it right in nature, eh?
Yeah. And you said wahine toa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was the biggest evil eagle to ever live.
Yeah.
And sort of weighed 12 to 14 kgs for females, but some estimates up to 18 kgs,
yeah, huge.
Which is a massive weight for a manu.
Yeah.
And so the females are larger. The males were maybe around 9 to 12 kgs.
Oh.
And in context, the largest eagles today, like the harpy eagle, weighs up to 9 kilos.
And where would you find the harpy?
It's in the Americas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's got a wingspan of about 2.6 to 3 metres wide, which
huge.
Is not, it's not the widest wingspan of eagles, but it's thought that they evolved sort of shorter wings to adapt to hunting through forested areas.
Yeah.
You know, the longer your wings, the more they're going to get clipped by trees or branches. So they have slightly shorter, stumpier wings, but very powerful.
And they've got amazing manoeuvrability as well, to be able to fly through the ngahere and attack their prey at up to 80 kilometres per hour.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got a massive, big, curved beak. The talons were as large as tiger claws, which is
it blows
astounding.
My mind.
And standing height was about just under a metre, about 90 centimetres.
Aye, aye. Yeah, so, and we don't really know what they look like, but from some Māori Pūrākau Māori, we've kind of found that they were red, black and white with black feathers tinged with yellow or green and a bunch of red feathers on the head. And Te Papa has a model of one, AP.
With boring brown colouring. Who knows? But I kind of like the Māori description. It's much more interesting.
And I think we should listen to them because they know best. So, yeah, as we talked about, they live mostly in Te Waipounamu or exclusively in Te Waipounamu. But as we were saying before, Ngāti Manuhiri have stories about the Pouākai that have travelled up their ways. What did the Pouākai eat, Pete?
So their primary food was the moa, and yep. that's understandable because it's a pretty tasty large morsel.
Nice meal for the whānau.
Well, the moa, you know, stood up to 3.6 metres high. There was a lot of meat on the bones.
Yeah.
They also ate native geese and ducks. They probably ate the adspil, which was another predatory bird. And maybe they ate a few unlucky humans along the way.
God.
And they had their skull shape is more vulture-like than eagle-like.
Okay. So what does that mean?
It's just the shape of their beak. If you look at a vulture, they've got very big curved beaks.
Yeah. Whereas an eagle doesn't tend to usually have that
Not
shape.
As large and not a slightly different shape. And the vulture beak, when you look at it, it's very good for tearing into carcasses and...
God.
And really getting into the work. They kind of bury their heads in the carcasses. And it's thought that the Pouākai did the same.
Really
enjoyed that feasting process.
Yeah. And so let's talk about breeding. We found out that prior to human arrival in Aotearoa, there could have been up to 1,000 breeding pairs at any one time, which doesn't seem like a lot, but then you explained to me, why is there only 1,000 breeding pairs?
Yeah, well, if you think of the food chain, the higher up the food chain, the lesser number you get.
Yeah, wow.
And then when you've got your apex predators, they need lots of food, so they can only sustain a much smaller number. Right. So if you think of like tigers and lions, the numbers of those compared to gazelles or, you know, or antelopes or their food, it's just naturally the much fewer in number.
And they're likely to have been solitary and territorial, you said?
That's the theory, and that would make sense. You know, they need a fairly large territory to protect their food sources. So they'd have a wide, large range.
And they kind of, well, from what I read, is they kind of used to live like southeast of Te Waipounamu from the sea level up until the like subalpine environments, but. Māori oral histories have also said that they like lived in the Maunga as well. So if they were alive, I would have been living in their territory as a kid. we've had a question in, Pete, on the text machine. Someone said, "Is the Haast eagle the reason why we have so many nocturnal birds?"
That's a very good question. I don't think so.
No.
I think they're nocturnal birds just evolved because there was a gap in the ecosystem and, you know, space for species to thrive in the nighttime, like the ruru and the kiwi, and they hunt at night, so, you know.
And then someone also said, "I'm writing a horror script about the Haast eagle at the moment, hoping to make it into a movie." Well, we'd love to bloody see that, wouldn't we?
That's cool.
But, yeah, just... this is our first extinct bird that we've talked about, and I think I just wanted to finish off this kōrero by saying it's so important that we keep using the Ingoa Māori, the Māori names of our extinct birds, the Pouākai, because otherwise we lose a lot of the oral histories around these birds. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do we talk a little bit about extinction?
Yeah, let's talk about extinction. Yeah.
So, you know, like right around the world, wherever humanity is has travelled, you end up with extinctions of species. And in Aotearoa, you know, we've lost about up to 70-odd bird species.
That is crazy to me.
Yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, early on, a bunch of them went extinct with the arrival of Māori.
Yeah.
And in those days, you know, they arrive in a land that's got lots of resources and they hunt for food. And,
exactly. You've got to eat.
And then, but then as species become extinct, they learnt that there's limitations on the resource. And so that deep sort of mataranga Māori conservation ethic evolved over time. And it's pretty awesome today.
Yeah.
But in the early days, it took a few birds to be lost.
Yeah.
And then with Europeans arriving and more forest clearance and farming, we lost a lot more. And mammalian predators, that's a biggie.
Yeah.
They've continued to kill lots of manu.
Yeah.
And the other thing was collectors in those days wanted to put them in their collections and stuff them.
Yeah.
And so a few poor species like the huia was basically hunted into extinction so collectors could have them stuffed in their in their collection. So that's
stupid.
It was the mentality of the time, and it was unfortunate, but you know, that's such what we do as humans.
Yeah, such an awful colonial mindset that we need to actively undo and do everything we can to protect our native manu. To stop them going into extinction. But yeah, that's the kind of the end of our kōrero. And you've got a song for us, Pete. What's your song for us today?
Yeah, song today is Riverhead by Golden Horse.
Yeah.
And it's a song about a broken heart, but it's quite visceral and seemed appropriate for the old glutton.
The old glutton. Kia ora, Pete. Thanks for coming in. This has been our kōrero about the Pōākai.
Riverhead, when I was in Riverhead,
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.